Gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for the privilege of being able to gather here in this church, coming together, Lord God, to worship you in thought and in words and music and Lord God and our children, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have blessed us with. We continue to know that it's a gift from you. And so, Holy God, as we have gathered here as a congregation, we pray that you will come by your Holy Spirit. We truly know that the Ark of the Covenant is here, because God is here with us. Come, Holy Spirit, we invite you. Come into this place. Come with all of your quickening power. Come and touch us. God, come and revive us again. Come and give us strength for this race. Holy God, and take hold of me, the preacher, and put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are refuge and our strength. You are Savior and our Lord. Amen. My sermon title today is Jesus, a Priest Forever. And I want to begin with this brief reflection, and it's titled, Mother Encourages Dying Son. Christian author Catherine Marshall reflects on what it's like to die in the fictional story of a 12-year-old boy named Kenneth. In the story, Kenneth is suffering from an incurable illness. As he grows weaker and weaker, he begins to worry about what death would look like. At one point in the story, he turns to his mother and asks, Mom, what is it like to die? Does it hurt? Caught off guard by the question, his mother is overcome with emotion. To gain composure, she dismisses herself to another room and then returns with an answer. Kenneth, do you remember when you were younger? When you used to play so hard, you would be too tired to undress yourself, but you just fell asleep in my bed. In the morning, you would awake and find yourself in your own bed, in your own room. Your father had come with his strong arms and carried you there. Death is like that. You will wake up to find yourself in your own room where you belong, because Jesus cared and carried you with his strong arms. And what a story. What a reminder. It's a fictional story, but how true it is, and how we as Christian believers can find hope in that. And what is so important in the text today when we say Jesus is the great high priest, the high priest forever, the one that will be in the priesthood always. And so I want to then share this other story and then get to the text. And this is a true story that happened during the week. And I will try to summarize it a little bit. Well, on Monday, I did get a text from Missy. Normally when she texts me on a Monday and I was in the city, it's always something. And so on my text, I read it, and it said, we have a funeral. There's somebody who needs a funeral. And I said, I text back and I said, do we know who it is? Who is the person? Do I know the person? And she said no, and I called her, and she said she doesn't know them, and neither would I, but they've called up. Now, here's the gist of the story. This person had called up and went to the funeral home, Wagner over here, and they wanted a service in the church. And they wanted to be sent home from here. So I said to Missy, have you checked all the records? Because, you know, we have books to see if they had been a member and they're not thinking of some other church. Well, what happened is she had gotten the last name, she didn't get it right. And when she checked, she couldn't find him in all the books. So I called the funeral director and I said, are you sure this is Hicksville, because we don't have a person by this name. Not so much that they want me to come to the funeral home, because I do that when I can, and somebody just needs to be buried. But they want it in the church. It's normally long-standing members who have been here who, you know, give you time to want it in the church. And then he gave me the name, and the name was not the name that I'd gotten before. It was incorrect. He spelled it. And I said, I don't know that name either. And I don't know, I says, I could certainly come to the funeral home and do the funeral, but to get the church opened and to have that and get a musician and all of that, it's not, you know, something we do for people we don't know. Well, a woman called back later and she got very flustered and she said she wanted to be buried and she wanted to be buried from the church. She wanted her church service. She left, that was her last wishes, and she was getting real testy. And I said to her, well, I'm on the street now getting to the train. I can't talk now, but I'll call you on Tuesday. Could you? But I know there's a time span because she wanted it on Thursday. Well, as I was coming on the train, I started thinking and I said, maybe I'll do a little bit more research. So I called one of our long-standing members. Normally I just leave it alone, but it was in my head going around, so I called. About 7:30, I think I called this member of our church, and I said, here's the name of this person. You've been here a long time. Can you check for me? It was Marlena. I says, Marlena, could you check, because you've been here a long time? Maybe you know the name. I'd gotten the right name then. So Marlena, she was on the phone, and she was very good, I must say. She was very patient. She was going through her books, and I was really trying to get Dick. But probably Dick would not remember. So Marlena went through the book, and finally she said to me, yes, the name is in the book. Some many, many years ago, whatever time under. And then I had now gotten the maiden name, because, you know, I kind of know, you know, you have to ask the funeral director. Sometimes you have to have them spell it, because they'll give you a name that is, you know. And so I gave her the maiden name. And the maiden name was in the book. It was there in the centennial. And so I said, okay, so they had some relationship here. But here, come to find out, they hadn't been here in years. Many years. Even though they had lived around here, you know, on the other side. Not in my time, certainly not in my time, not in Rissa's time, not before, but they had been here. So I thought, all right, let me see what I can do with this. And the next day I called up, and lots of things going on and people getting emotional, because I was really trying to convince them I will come to the funeral home and do a wonderful service for you to feel. She says, no, that was her last wish. She wanted to be in the church. Adamant. All kinds of things are going through my head. And I said, you know, well, I'm a servant of Christ, so I've got to get it together. Sometimes you can't say what you're thinking. Just gotta think it and don't say it. So I spoke to the lady and I said, I'll come over and meet the family. The wake was going to be Tuesday and Wednesday. In the meantime, I had to find a musician, because I know Rosemary couldn't. I even tracked down Nancy. I figured that the Lord is on my back, because normally I'm not doing that in 2 days. But somehow I knew. Well, when I went to the Nancy could not do it either. And lo and behold, two people had sent us their resumes some time ago. What made us keep it, I don't know. But it sent us to say that they're available to fill in, you know. So I found there was a young person who was in college, and then another man, and he sings so well, and he's an excellent musician. I'm going to try to get him here one day, maybe, to come and just... But I found him, called him up, never met him, and I asked, can you do a funeral at my church on Thursday? I'm changing all my plans to fit this in for Thursday. And he said yes, and he gave me what he charges, and I take it, and I gave it, so I'll give it to the funeral home. They wanted Ave Maria sang. So I'm sure I'm not going to be singing that. And he did a marvelous job. And some other songs. And we put that funeral together, and I went over to meet the family, and when I met the son and the daughter, they're in their 30s, I think, this lady, she was 61 years old, died of pancreatic cancer. Very sad story. Her husband had been diagnosed with throat cancer the year ago. You always have to get the backstory. See, you always, when the Lord puts something in your place, husband had been diagnosed with cancer. He had come to this church because he knew Beam. Mr. Beam, he says he'll bring me his confirmation paper. I said, you don't have to. He did, you know, Beam, and then they knew Smelsa. They used to live across the street here, but they live on the other side of farm. So when I met the family and the young man, and he was weeping and crying, and I ministered to them, I knew that I had to do something to help the two young people. So we decided to do the funeral. So Wednesday I'm busy. We even did programs, put the programs together. Missy, I called Missy. I said, we got to do some programs. We'll make it nice for them. Well, here's the gist of the story that ties in with what this high priest. On Thursday when they came here, there were over 100 people that came to the funeral. Thank God I had Frank, the musician who could sing, because him and I were doing most of the singing. But it was almost full here, over 100 people, and the casket was here. I mean, I treated it just as if I knew her. I mean, I processed with the casket, we had it here, and somewhere in the stool, as I was standing there, came into my mind that she, who had not been here for many years, long time, maybe from she got married, she was married here. And her children were christened here, I came to find out. She somehow wanted Jesus to send her home. It was so important to her. If I would have had an opportunity to speak with her, she was diagnosed in September and died. I am sure in her heart, this little girl, this woman who was a little girl here, who had been baptized here, I said it over a casket as I said it to the children and the people there to give them comfort. She was baptized here in this altar. She was confirmed here because I saw the records. She was married here. Her children were confirmed here. And her desire was to be sent off from here. And that Jesus, that Jesus that she knew as a little girl, would receive her because he's the high priest forever. Even though she had not been involved in the church, not been here, and then there's a whole list of things that one can say, and there are churches who wouldn't open up the sanctuary for someone who's not a, because it takes work, and I was here by myself, me and Missy, putting on the lights and the heat and getting the bulletin and giving out the programs and then coming to the altar because it wasn't planned, right? Even then, I knew this what Christ would expect because he's the great high priest, you see, forever and ever and ever. And somehow in her spirit as she was going through, she must have said to herself, I know Jesus will welcome me. I know Jesus will receive me. And so, we did. This is what it means to know Jesus, who is going to be there for you all the time. Every day. The great high priest. The writer of Hebrew reminds us of this. The writer of Hebrew tells us about a high priest called Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was from Genesis, the first high priest. He was king and priest. And Jesus, the scripture tells us that Jesus would come after the order of Melchizedek, a priest that was not born of a genealogy, even though Jesus did, but a priest would be a priest forever who would never die. And so as we look at the Hebrew text, I want to put my emphasis on the Hebrew text first. We read several things in the letter. It says, today you are my son. Today I have begotten you, as he says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And then it continues, In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who would be able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his fervent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who would obey him. Eternal salvation. Having been designated by God the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. What that meant for us and means for us is that all the priests before Jesus, except for Melchizedek, would die. They were human beings. All the Levites, the Levitical priests, were human beings and they would live and die. So they would only be able to do their work up to a certain point. And as I shared in our Bible study the other day, and if those priests, when they were bringing the confessions and the sin before God, were not pure themselves and washed themselves, they would die in the Holy of Holies. But then God would what? Send his son, the true high priest, who would enter the Holy of Holies forever and ever, and who makes intercessions for you and for me, and who will welcome us into eternity when our time comes. He sat down, the Bible says in Hebrews 7, at the right hand of God the Father, and he will make intercessions for us. So for this lady, her first name was Mary Lee. For Mary Lee, she accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. That day, when she took her home, he welcomed her into his kingdom because she was one of his own. This is the hope we have. It says here in Hebrews 7, accordingly, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. That Jesus lives to make intercession for them. Now, I am going to interject something into Mary Lee's life because I didn't really get to know her. I said that at the funeral. But I had a long conversation with the children and was able to say something about her from what the children told me. As she went through that terrible cancer, I want to believe in my heart that she called on Jesus. And this Savior would never reject her, ever. It is good to come to church and to be in your church and to support your church. It is good that you all are supporting the church, so why? So that others who need it can come, and certainly for ourselves. It is good to support, because if you all weren't supporting, it wouldn't be here. But here's the deal with Jesus. If she called on him during her sickness, those five, six months, he wouldn't question her about anything like that. That's what the high priest does. That's what he wanted me to do. Because he knows my flesh. And he knows I could have a list of why weren't you here in 40 years. He knows because we're human. But he would expect you to take care of his child like he's going to take care of me and you. And so, this high priest, who's faithful and just, is going to do what he must do. And that's what he said in the gospel as we go back to the gospel. He's going to say, as he speaks about his death, he says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say, Father? Save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven and says, "I've glorified it. I've glorified him." Jesus would ask his Father, "I don't want to do this. This is going to be my death. This is going to be difficult." But because he thought of you and me, and Mary Lee and all of us who will come, he would die for us so that we have the hope of eternal life. The Bible tells us that Jesus says his hour was coming as the Son of Man to be glorified. And he says, unless a wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will not bear fruit. You see, we believing in Jesus is the fruit that has been born through his death. And just like he was there for her, he's going to be there for us. So on that day, the great high priest received her into his arms. That's the first reflection I read. Picked her up when her time came. And says, Mary Lee, come home. For after you've suffered a little while, I'll restore you unto myself. You see, there's a song that we sing here. That victory we have in knowing that we have eternal life is through Jesus Christ. The songwriter says, I've heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and then I repented of my sin and won the victory. And then the chorus said, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me here, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me into victory beneath the cleansing flood. And here is the last verse that happens for all of us when that time comes. I pray that we all live a long time. I'm praying for myself and for all of you. But here's what it says. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. That's what it's all about. Jesus, the high priest forever. We can depend on him. He's not going to leave God's throne and leave us orphans and homeless. He went and prepared a place for us. His duties as high priest is to take care of us, to hear our prayers, to intercede for us. He already died for us. And then to welcome us home when the time comes. That's our hope in Christ. That's the story today. That's the reminder today. That just how we would hear this woman. And how she has been united with him in heaven. He will hear us. And he will be there for us when our time comes. Thanks be to God for a high priest that is faithful. Thanks be to God for a high priest that is forever. Amen.